Well, this morning I've titled this message, Right on Schedule. You may not feel like your life is right on schedule. You may feel like your life has taken some pretty dramatic detours. You may feel like you've at one point fell out of the will of God somehow. You may feel like you committed some large, heinous sin back in 1997 and that just did it for you. And then you got off track. Or you may just feel like the amount of suffering that you have endured in life seems out of proportion with the immorality that you've engaged in. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve this suffering. You don't deserve this trouble. You don't deserve this turmoil. Something must have gone wrong. Maybe I'm off track. I'm off base. It could be financial difficulty. It could be medical trouble. It could be emotional distress. It could be that you don't even know what it is. You can't put your finger on it, but it just hurts. And so this morning, I want to present the possibility, the crazy possibility, that you are still right on schedule. This morning, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As you think about the lifetime of sermons that you have ingested, the lifetime of books that you have read, a lifetime of radio teaching broadcasts here and there and everywhere that you have heard, TV messages. This morning I was watching a TV message. Preaching is all over the TV every day. Conferences that you've gone to. As you think about all of these things, I want to present the idea that certainly a lot of what we ingest, a lot of what we take in, gives us the idea that we are to get stronger, that we are to become more capable, that the Christian life is about us getting more able in what we do. But I want us to also ask, well, what does the Word of God actually say about this? Is the Christian life you getting stronger over time? Now, we may couch this as Christian growth. So we look at Christian growth as I can expect me to grow, and my growth looks like me getting more capable, me getting more disciplined, me getting more able to do. And so then, if this is my view of Christian growth, well, then when planet Earth hits me, and if I see the opposite happening, I think I've gotten off track. I'm not on schedule. I'm the odd man out. I'm the weirdo. Everyone else is getting stronger, and I'm actually finding the opposite. I'm getting weaker. What's going on? Is the Christian life about you getting more capable over time? What's funny about that is that you can find that the flesh is capable of just about anything in any given moment, isn't it? You could be a Christian for 1 year, 10 years, or 50 years, and the flesh can just lash out in a given moment, and you're like, whoa, what was that? I thought I was all grown up now. And that came out? You know what I'm talking about? The Christian life, is it you getting more capable over time? The Christian life, is it two steps forward and one step back? Maybe you've heard something along these lines. The idea that you do your best, and then yes, you're going to stumble, but then you just do your best again, and yes, you're going to stumble, and it's like Dancing with the Stars. I was already told this morning that I look pretty. So I thought I'd dance for you. Amen. The Christian life. Two steps forward, one step back? Is that what we're to expect? The Christian life is you getting more disciplined over time. We talk about the spiritual disciplines. You know, the idea of the spiritual disciplines, they're things like prayer and Bible study. You know, the Bible never talks about these things as disciplines. They're never talked about as spiritual disciplines. Imagine if I went to my father years ago when he was living and I said, Dad, you know, I've been thinking that I'm keen on the idea of a relationship with you, so I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to make myself talk to you. every single day. So we'll have a conversation, and I've decided that I'm going to commit to actually talking to you. And that's going to be my spiritual family discipline. He would think, what would he think there? I guess you don't really want to talk with me, but you think you better, you think you ought to, you think you should. So now you're going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps in order to make it into a discipline that you might talk to me. Prayer is not a discipline. Prayer, I guess it's, you could call it food, you could call it a life necessity, you could call it just an outward expression of, I want to talk to my dad, and there's so much going on planet Earth that hurts, that who else can I go to for real answers? It's not something I have to make myself do, but it's really a response to, do I know who he is? Do I know my relationship with him? Same thing with Bible study. Bible study, we've called it Bible study, and you must attend a Bible study. And it's become this thing that we measure. And I remember as a young Christian, I would measure time spent with God. And that was my thing, right? It was my thing. But now, I'm seeing that it's Christ in me 24/7, no matter where I go, and he is my thing. Not a study of him, but him. And that's where God's taking us. It's not about a discipline to spend time with him, or a discipline to read about him, or a discipline to talk to him. It's not about us getting more disciplined. Now, I know that that sounds wrong to many of us. But remember that self-discipline is actually a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of us. We don't get more disciplined. The Holy Spirit is perfectly disciplined. And as we draw upon him, there's fruit from that. But it's not us in our own resources getting more disciplined, getting more able. Then we would just be working Jesus out of a job. The Christian life is not working Jesus out of a job. The Christian life is not us becoming like Jesus to the point that, well, now we've imitated him and we've figured out, we've mastered the art of imitating him and we've worked him out of a job. No, the purpose of the indwelling Christ is that Christ can be Christ in and through us all the time. He's really, really good at it. So what are we going to discover apart from that system? We are not going to discover strength. We're going to discover weakness. And that's what we're about to see today. Myth: the Christian life is about you becoming more successful over time. You stink. You stink at the Christian life. And I do too. The truth: the Christian life is about you deciding to be more dependent over time. The truth is, if you find your ability to cope weakening over time, then you are right on schedule. The Christian life is about Christ's ever-strong presence within you. The Bible tells us to be strong, but it says be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So then what can I expect with my might? I can find it waning. I can find it dwindling. I can find my self-control dissipating. I can find that failure is actually, curiously, failure is the back door to success. And in fact, it is really the only door to success, if success is Christ in you. So anybody here acquainted with failure? Anybody failing at the Christian life? You feel like you just can't make it happen? Oh, you're in such a good place. Don't move from that place. Don't go off and try to find the next campaign or the next trend or the next big thing in order to somehow then you'll be able to make it happen. No, stay right in that place of, I can't figure this thing out. I'm not able to do it. I'm not able to think it. I'm not able to initiate it. I'm not able to generate it. It's a joke for me to play church and give people the idea that this sort of life is going to just come from me. It's a joke. It's a fabrication. It's a lie. And it makes no difference whether it's coming from a book or a sermon or a radio message or a TV show or whatever. We've been inundated with a lie. We will not find resources to where we see our strength gaining over time. It's an illusion. And Paul confirms this for us. And it's actually beautiful if we're willing to embrace the idea. The world would have us not embrace it. Religion tells you, over time, you will become more moral, you will become more ethical, you will become more disciplined, and religion can work that out for you. But if you haven't figured out yet, we're weirdos here. We're not interested in religion. We're interested in this system that Jesus Christ has for us. Not religion, but Jesus Christ. What is Jesus Christ doing? Is he just doling out strength in little gift packages for us to go use so that the glory can be of us? And we can say, look how much stronger I've gotten. The strength, the power, the life is contained within Jesus. There is no life apart from Jesus. There's no strength apart from Jesus. There's no power apart from Jesus. So if it's within Jesus and within Jesus alone, what should we expect from any other sort of strength or flavor of strength or what we might think is strength? We can find it shattering, falling to pieces. If your resources are falling to pieces, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? Or maybe right now you're just feeling like it's painful and awful. And is this all there is? There's more. Failure is the back door to success. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. There are people that don't get it. There are people that don't want it. They don't get it. They want strength. They want productivity. They want success. They don't want to be acquainted with weakness. They don't want to be acquainted with failure. They want nothing to do with it. They want to look good and smell good and be good. Recently, 60 Minutes last week did a special on children. They did an experiment with children. They would bring children in, and they were looking to see if this question was yes or no. Essentially, they were looking to see, are children born moral and good, or are they born immoral and not good? And so they brought children into a laboratory setting, and they would have a table on the right, and they would tell the child, now a child is going to come in after you, after you're done here today, there will be another child coming in here after you. And you can pick now from these two tables. Over here, with this table, you will get two cookies, and the child coming in after you will also get two cookies. Now over here, here's a scenario where you will get one cookie and the other child will get nothing. Guess which table every single child picked? The one where they got less as long as somebody else got nothing. They would rather have one cookie and watch the other suffer instead of having two cookies if it meant the other child also got two. Hundreds and hundreds of children participated in this experiment. Then they raised the stakes. What if we give each of you six cookies, or you only get two cookies and they get none? They still chose the table with two cookies. They concluded, I know it sounds crazy, they essentially concluded that children are born sinful. This was a huge scientific revelation. Now, you see what's happening. We're born, we've got no morality, we've got no real ethics. Maybe when people are watching, maybe the scientists, they concluded that not everyone is just heinously, openly immoral. So there's conditioning that happens after that initial state. But the initial state, in their eyes, is immoral, and then there's conditioning that occurs. And see, what we call that conditioning is we call that flesh. It's walking after the flesh. I'm going to get better looking flesh. I'm going to, within my own resources, generate, fabricate a sense of fairness and justice so that I look good and I look polite and I look moral and I look ethical, because looking the opposite is just not real socially acceptable. It's not very attractive. And so we generate a persona walking after the flesh. Then we become a Christian. Maybe by some revelation we see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, crucified, buried, raised, and we invite Him to come live inside of us. But we've still got the old conditioning, don't we? The world has told us how to move from immoral to moral by conditioning, by self-improvement. This is why the self-help section of the bookstore is filled with options. The 10-step option, the 3-step option, the 30-day option, or the 90-day option. It's conditioning of the flesh. And so what happens is the Lord Jesus Christ comes to take up residence within us. And then the weirdest of all things happens. Our conditioning starts to actually fail us, and we have an awareness that our conditioning is failing us. The unbeliever does not have this awareness. But we as believers have an awareness that self-improvement, that self-help, it's actually, our strength is actually dwindling and failing over time. And this comes out in this way or that way or the other way. And at that point, we have two things we can do about it. We could panic and go read more self-help books and try to get more conditioned, and maybe this will change. Maybe somehow I will stop weakening. Or we do the craziest of all things and we embrace that weakness and we look for an alternate power that is not us to live life through us. And that's Jesus. The life of Jesus manifest in our mortal body. My friends, this is the gospel of growth. And there is no other gospel of growth. If our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who don't get it. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, there's an enemy, and he doesn't want us to see it. And he's blinded lost people so that they can't see it. They're looking to get better, stronger, faster, more capable, more efficient. And they look over at those Christians, and what do they say? You've heard it. What do they say? That's a crutch. Because those people are so weak. And to that I say, yes. I'd rather have a support in my weakness than run around with the illusion of strength. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Do you see his point? It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about humanity. It's not about us getting stronger, us getting better, us getting more capable. Look at me, imitate me, do what I do. It's not about that. It's about someone who is not us. Living a life that only He can live in us. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. Where's the light going to come from? A place that appears to have no light. Have you been trying to be light? Have you been trying to be the light of the world? Have you been trying to be Jesus, essentially? Jesus is the light. We're not the light. We're children of light. We're not the light. We will never be the light. You will never live the Christian life. He is the Christian life. The idea that you are going to get better at the Christian life is a fabrication. It is a lie. You are not going to get better at the Christian life. You may get more dependent on the one who is the Christian life, But the flesh in any moment is capable of anything and will remind you once again, oh yeah, 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 it's not about me getting stronger. It's about one and one person only that can live this life. Light will shine out of darkness. He's the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure, but it's in earthen vessels, clay pots, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. If you're hearing Christian leaders talk about how strong and capable they are and how good they are and how these five steps and these three principles and this vision statement and this thing and this other thing and this gizmo and this gadget and this trend and this campaign and this thing is going to bring you to a place of church strength and personal strength, what I'm saying is skip it. Save yourself some time. Jesus. There's one formula, one gadget, one gizmo, one thing, one campaign. It's a person. It's Jesus. It's Christ in you, your only hope of glory. Only hope. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The power is of God. It's not from ourselves. But here it comes. Planet Earth comes at us. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Let me stop here and clarify something. This is not God afflicting us. This is God not confusing us. He's not snickering up in heaven saying, I'm going to afflict him. I'm going to afflict her. I'm going to really perplex them now. I'm going to give them a spirit of confusion. That's not God. That's not our Heavenly Father interacting with his children. This is planet Earth coming at us. This is not God saying, I'm going to make them realize their weakness. This is, we're weak. Period. Planet Earth is going to show us that. Our Heavenly Father will certainly show us that. And in this interaction between Earth coming at us and Christ living in us, right at that intersection of Earth and Christ, this is where we discover the possibility that maybe, just maybe, we can't make life work. If you can't make life work, welcome to the club. None of us really can. We can make something appear to work, but it's not real life. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Now the good news is, not every one of us in this room is going to be slaughtered. We're not going to be persecuted physically. We're not going to be hung on a cross physically. And these are apostles talking. And in a minute, they're going to even say that death is working in us so that life may work in you. In other words, we're being persecuted for the gospel. As apostles, we're out on the road. We're going town to town. People hate us. People stone us. People eventually crucify us upside down. People seem to not like us. And that was the lot that the apostles had in life. And who knows where things may go in the next decade, 50 years, 100 years, who knows? But there's a principle here, there's an idea here. And the idea is that there's death, there's a sense of desperation, there's a sense of weakness, there's even maybe you've even experienced almost what you would just call a total devastation in your life, a death blow. God, where are you? Why can I not do this? Why is life not working? Why are people shattering around me? Why can I not depend on them? Why can I not just be happy? Why can't I find contentment? Why can't I find rest? Why can't I find stability, security? Why can't I? And so in this intersection of Christ in you and earth coming at you, there's a principle. Death is coming at us and life is working in us. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. Write a book called, I Invite You to Death. and see how many people read that one. Stand on the street corner and invite people to church for a message about how they are incapable, totally unsuccessful, and they stink at the Christian life. And see how many you get. See, I tricked you. You didn't even know I was going to teach on this. It's too late. You're already here. What is the scripture telling us? Constantly being delivered over to death so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal body. Does this sound like a guy who thinks he's getting stronger, more capable, more successful? He's got it all going on. It's the opposite. And it is a beautiful opposite. So death works in us, but life in you. The apostles, they experience all of this turmoil, and it's so that they can proclaim, bring the message of life in you. Christ's life in you. Not your life getting better, but Christ's life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe. We believe there is something deeper than the visible. We think there's something deeper than our resources. We believe, therefore we also speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and present us with you. Even a hope at the end with the physical death. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Aren't you thankful for the message that we enjoy together here at Ecclesia? Aren't you thankful for the way that the message and the author of the message, Jesus Christ, he never fails us. He does allow our strength to fail. He does allow our circumstances to disappoint. He does allow, when we're looking to anything else, he does allow despair. He does allow it. But even in that, he comforts. Even in that, he counsels. And there's a giving of thanks. And this message is spreading. Even today, 2,000 years later, this message is spreading. Multiple voices, multiple bodies of believers all over the planet. This message is spreading. When I am weak, then I am strong. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Do you see it? The outward, the visible, the human. It's all just sort of everything's getting worse. But then inside, in Christ, in the inner man, we experience something that we can't even fully understand. For momentary light affliction. Who's the guy writing this? Light affliction? Paul? He's calling this light? Well, apparently it's light in comparison to the eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're really in a funny business here, aren't we? I mean, your entire belief system is centered on things that are invisible. Go tell that to a scientist. Science can only take us so far, can only investigate so much. Not super good at the spiritual, the invisible. So we put our faith in something invisible. Then we finish up just a few chapters later. Paul tells us this. It's just a few verses, but wow. This thorn, this trouble, this affliction, this thing that the author himself dealt with. I begged the Lord 3 times. Lord, I prayed my best prayers, and I really meant them. And I even put in Jesus' name on the end of them. And I named it, and I claimed it, and I spoke it, and I gabbed it, and I grabbed it. And it was just empty. There was just nothing. And the answer I got after begging 3 times that it might leave me, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. I want you to experience me. I don't want you to experience just the comfort of cush circumstances. I want you to know a deeper comfort. I want you to know a deeper rest. I want you to know me. And so my grace is sufficient. My power is perfected in weakness. And that's why you're here in this place. You're right on schedule. This is not unusual. Most gladly, Paul says, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Imagine if all the pastors, if all the leaders, if all the big shots of the Christian world would just turn to their people and just say, you know what? I can't. I never could. And all I'm discovering is that I still can't. 30 years, 50 years, 70 years later, the Billy Grahams of the world, the Christian leaders of the world, if we all just told the entire church across the planet, I'm not doing this any better than you. And the only times that anything good comes out of me is simply when I'm dependent. I might be learning to be more dependent, but I'm certainly not getting any stronger than anyone sitting anywhere in any church in the world this morning. It is not about human strength, and it is not about conditioning. Don't be surprised at what the flesh can and will do through you. Don't be shocked one bit. And in the next moment, don't be surprised at all what dependency in Christ will result in. It's about the moment. It's about the moment. What are you looking to in the moment? The flesh? Then don't be shocked. Christ? Well, don't be surprised either. All the more. It's about who we're looking to. Most gladly, therefore, I'll boast about my weaknesses. Boast? So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, persecutions, difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What? There's no way we can get this unless we're just there in that place and we're okay with being there. And we're not trying to get away from there, but we're just trusting Christ in the midst of there. So the Christian life, is it you getting stronger over time? No. Is it you getting more capable over time? No. Is it two steps forward and one step back? No. Is the Christian life you getting more disciplined over time? No. The Christian life about you becoming more successful, it's a myth. The truth is, it's about you and I deciding to be more dependent over time. If you find your ability to cope weakening over time, then you are right on schedule. The Christian life is about Christ's ever strong presence within you. Let's pray together. Father, we encounter medical difficulties and we're scared and we don't know what to do. We encounter financial difficulties. They weigh in on us. We're scared. We don't know what to do. We encounter marriage difficulties, things falling apart. We don't know what to do. Our kids, we can't seem to control them. They seem out of control. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to live the life. We hear sermon after sermon. We hear book or tape or CD or radio or television telling us that there's a victorious life and we need to work toward that victory and we need to grow and get stronger. And that one day we will be victorious by claiming and being. Father, we just see your words this morning that when we're weak, then we're strong. We see your words this morning. It's not you snickering in a corner, excited about our weakness. It's you excited about your son. It's the earth revealing our ineptness, our inability to live any life that is pleasing to you. And then it's about you and your Son in us, through us. Father, we here today, we have decided to embrace our weakness, to be transparent, to be honest about our inability, to not hold any expectations up for the flesh, to just recognize it's a failure, and that Jesus, the life of Jesus manifested in us and through us, is really the only form of success. We thank you for your Son, how well he lives the life. In his name we pray. Amen. You have a new heart. You've got all the desire in the world. You got the mind of Christ, a new heart, a new spirit. The problem is you don't have any power within yourself. All the willingness, all the desire implanted, but no power apart from Christ. Christ has given us the new shell, the new man, the inner man. But he didn't just stop there. He came to dwell in the inner man for a reason. He's the light. He's the power. He's the strength. Maybe you find all the desires within you, but somehow it just doesn't happen. What we're saying is, it's not supposed to be able to happen by you making it happen. It's about someone who is not you, but fortunately, someone who is in you, and someone whose greatest desire is to live through you. And as we find the pieces falling all around us and our strength waning, we say, you know what? I'm right on track. Thank Jesus. I'm right on track. God, I'm asking you to do what I can't do. And I'm ready to shout it. I can't do it. Never could. Never will. Can't do it. Can't produce it. Can't live it. What a relief. I don't have to. I was never intended to. The life lost in the garden, now restored to me. A dependent life where I live not for God, I live from God. I live from Christ as He lives with His strength and His power. He's the source. He is the way. He is the life. Have a great day.